Today, I am going to be speaking with Leslie Johnson, who's the executive director of Chico Housing Action Team, also known as CHAT. Welcome, Leslie.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Yeah, I'm glad to have you. And I figure the best way might be to start with a little bit of history, just because CHAT's been around for quite some time and done quite a few things in our community.
I love to talk about how CHAT got started. It was 2013, and actually, it was Dan Everhart, who a lot of you probably still remember, was kind of an activist around town. And at that time, he was the president of the board of Chico Peace and Justice Center. So Dan kept trying to talk to some of us at the Peace Center about homelessness. And finally, I said, fine, sat down, talk, go ahead. We were at the Peace Center. And he said, well, I've started meeting with some people that are into tiny houses, and you know, you need to go to the 10-year strategy to end homelessness meetings, and you should be going to the Greater Chico Homeless Task Force meetings and the city council, this and that. And but he was talking to some other people, and then he got us to all get together. I think we were meeting at Woodstock. We were just sort of talking about what the issues were and some possible approaches. And somebody said, and this was at like our first or second meeting that I was involved in, said it's the temperature is going to drop precipitously. That was November of 2013. And we had a real, real cold spell, and we were afraid some people would die outside. So I said, before our next meeting, I'll make some calls and see where the emergency shelter is. I called everybody that I could think of that was sort of in that field of work. And they said, no, we don't have that anymore. Just there's the tourist shelter. But other than that, there was nothing for people who are mostly living outside, but wanted to go in for an emergency type of just short-term, you know, protect from exposure. At that time, the tourist shelter rules were pretty strict too. It was quite a bit different than it is now. People had to be drug tested, and they couldn't have pets, and they couldn't just go for a week and then leave. They had to be committed to a long-term stay. And there were a lot of people that just didn't fit those, all those categories. And so we started the rotating winter shelter. We copied a model that of something going on in Davis to go to different churches for 1 or 2 weeks through the course of the winter. That's when we started Safe Space. And it wasn't really new for Chico, because even before the tourist shelter started, that sort of approach was used in Chico. So a lot of the churches still remembered having done that before, and they were open to doing that again. So that's how we got started. And it was actually really good for us, because we got our feet wet right away. We kind of plunged in, and we started getting to know homeless people, which, you know, that's actually a pretty good place to start if you want to help deal with homelessness. And I mean, I have to admit, I hadn't really talked with homeless people too much, you know, at all, ever. So even though I'd been a legal aid attorney, I'd worked with people struggling with poverty issues and all that, but homelessness is, you know, it's different. So we started working with people, getting to know them, and realizing that everybody has their own story, and every situation is different, and they're just like everybody else. They just have a lot more problems. The stereotype that so many people have, or stereotypes, really didn't apply so much. And another thing that surprised us was that there were so many women. When we opened up the churches, I was picturing the people I would see downtown that are out in the open, that were homeless, that might have a, you know, I don't know, a pit bull and dreadlocks and a guitar or something. There was a lot of women and a lot of people that were in their 50s or 60s or even older. And that also surprised me. I just didn't think of the fact that senior citizens were sleeping out on the ground. And a lot of people were sick. That was the third thing about it. A lot of people had a lot of chronic ailments. And because it was such a cold and wet winter that year, a lot of people were ill, not just that year, but the next few years. It seems like there would be people all over, and we didn't even have cots. We just had mats on the floor, and there would just be all this coughing. Sometimes I worried that we were, you know, contributing to the spreading of colds and flus, because putting people together to get them out of the cold. And yet now they're in this room with people with bronchitis and sometimes pneumonia. It was quite shocking, honestly, how ill people were that were actually living outside and how vulnerable, you know, old people, women, and people that were frail. So we had talked about different ideas. We really wanted to do a tiny house village. Somebody suggested to me, you guys should think about doing a master lease. You just rent a house and then sublet the bedrooms. And I thought, well, that's not very exciting. We want to build a project and have dozens of tiny homes and all this kind of stuff. But eventually, it's funny because we came kind of back around to that. Someone offered us a house, actually. So we rented it and sublet the bedrooms to some people we knew from Safe Space that we had gotten to know, and older people in poor health. These folks aren't, you know, obviously born into homelessness for the most part. They've had jobs, they've had homes, but they've lost their housing for one reason or another. And they just don't have the backup. They don't have, for whatever reason, family they can turn to or friends they're willing to ask, and they end up in homelessness. Sometimes people have a storage facility and they still have some furniture and things. So we did move people into that chat house. We called it the chat house, but we soon had to change it to chat one because we got another chat house the following year. And then I don't know, the momentum just got going, and this master lease idea of renting a house and then subletting out the bedrooms. And it was kind of an obvious thing when you think about it, because it's so commonly done with college students. That's just a thing that they often do, because there's so many big old houses around Chico and there aren't very many one bedroom and studio units relative to really what's needed by singles. So then we had somebody that was working with some mentally ill people on the street as a volunteer, just on her own. And she kept saying, why don't you guys get a house and I'll put some mentally ill people in there and I'll supervise them. I'll take care of everything. So we went to chat three. And then after that, it took off and we're up to chat. I think we just rented chat 58. We have an unbelievable amount of houses. And I think sometimes people have heard about Everhart Village or the Simplicity Village, you know, our tiny house projects. But honestly, we've helped house way more people than we ever would have imagined or that we ever could have housed in a tiny house village by doing this master lease approach. It's almost kind of a mundane way to do things, but it works.
So people, you rent the houses from someone here in Chico, and then you deal with sort of vetting the people that are going to go into the rooms.
Yeah, it's some people have said it's kind of like being a property manager, but it really isn't, because we're actually the tenant. And then we also turned around and sublet. So we're also the landlord. Yeah. And it actually works great for the property owners because they don't have to worry that someone's moving out or new people are moving in, because we're the ones that deal with all that. We mm-hmm. just keep on paying the rent if someone moves out or dies. And we've actually had a number of people who have been in such ill health that they passed away while they were inside. And we've been sort of proud that we've been able to, you know, bring people in. So at least they're not dying out in the, it's so awful, you know, mm-hmm. to think of going through a final illness and just not even having a bed to lay in. Not too many people move out from chat. As I say, some have gotten sick and had to go to a nursing home or have passed away, but not too many people move away mm-hmm. because usually they get settled in, and generally the people do get along, even though they're housemates now. They're, you know,
yeah.
We've almost always stayed with a plan that people get their own bedroom. Some programs will put two people in a bedroom or three or four people, like some of the sober living houses or other programs. But we haven't done that because we feel that people, they should be entitled to their own space.
Sure.
But housing costs have gone up, so it's become a lot harder for the homeless people to afford it. Some people don't realize that an awful lot of people who are homeless, they do have income. They just don't have enough to go out and rent an apartment, but they can afford to rent a bedroom for $450, $500, maybe $550 a month, just on their disability or their Social Security or the veterans benefit, or sometimes they have a little pension or something. They can afford that. They can rent a bedroom.
Yeah.
We've been a victim of our own success, only in the sense that we have so many houses that it's too much for volunteers to really supervise the folks, because we do need to be checking on them all the time, you know, and just helping them get along with their housemates, helping them if they're, whatever, their washing machine's broken or they need to get to the doctor. There's so many things when people don't have family to help them.
Sure.
And most of our folks don't. We are trying to hire more staff, but we have a lot of staff, but now compared to when we started, of course, we had none for the first few years, no paid staff at all. We were just all volunteer community people that just working together. Mm-hmm. And I'm just going to keep saying that I feel like our chat superpower has been the teamwork, because none of us could have done all this or even imagined it, but somehow, sometimes you put the right people together and the right energy comes in and it just seems like this magic starts to happen. And then things just come to us, you know, people will call us and offer to rent houses to us. And we've gotten some really substantial grant funding on two different things. One is to help the fire survivors. And we've been trying to work with a lot of fire survivors to get them into rental housing through a landlord incentive program. And then also our family program that we were able to get with some state funding, because that definitely needed paid case managers. Mm-hmm. At this point, I guess we still need more funding to be able to case manage and pay for bookkeepers and things like that, because this has gotten really pretty complicated and pretty
sure. Sure. So 58 houses, how many actual people can you say?
I think we have around 200, more than 200 people.
Yeah, no, that's but great.
It's shifting.
That's
and
so good.
Changing
that's
so all good. The time. With our family program, the focus has been they're in short term, and we're working intensively with them to help them get into permanent low income housing.
Mm-hmm.
Because for families, they can't just rent a bedroom, and getting CalWORKs or cash aid, they can't really afford to rent a house. They have to get on Section 8 or get into a low-income housing facility. So people are moving out and more families are coming in. And we now have a couple of veterans houses. We just rented our second veterans house, because the veterans, they do have some funding too. They can pay rent, but we're just the facilitator. You know, we make it possible for them to get the housing, but they're paying for their own housing for the most part.
Okay.
So that makes it good. I think it's good because it gives them the dignity of being a tenant like anybody else. They're a renter. They rent their room. They're not, you can't call them homeless people anymore because they're not.
Because they're not. Yeah. You're listening to a pre-recorded interview with Leslie Johnson from CHAT, the Chico Housing Action Team. On 90.1 FM KZFR, I'm Bobby Tryon, and this is North State Give and Take. We'll be back in just a little bit. Back to our interview with Leslie Johnson from CHAT, Chico Housing Action Team. Now, about the Everhart Village, that's something right now that you're working pretty hard on, right?
Yeah, there's a lot happening there. This was something the county actually was talking about and was interested in doing. They had this piece of property, and I heard Don Taylor talking about really wanting to do some kind of a housing project on this piece of property. This is actually a great location for Everhart Village, specifically for people with behavioral health issues, because it's close to behavioral health offices. There's an addiction treatment program there. There's even a residential crisis facility close by. So it's the right place. for people who are behavioral health clients, but they're living outdoors because they don't have housing. And it's a huge problem, because when people are living outside, they can't keep on their treatment plan. They not only, you know, they don't get enough sleep because people are scared when they sleep outside. Often I remember they would tell us in safe space, you know, it's so stressful. I'm afraid to close my eyes. I stay awake at night and then I walk around during the day, or I try to sleep in the daytime. Anyway, they miss their appointments. They're always losing their medicine or getting it stolen or wet or just always something, you know, they get sick because their clothes get wet. And anyway, so the idea would be to see whether they would do a lot better if they could have a stable place to be, just for their own peace of mind and everything, you know, the reduction in the stress and the sense of hopelessness and all of that. So the county was going to do a project like that. And then they started looking into it and decided that it just was too expensive and too complicated. And I said, how hard could it be? But I didn't really realize that up front that there wasn't really water and sewer in that location. There is on another part of that parcel property, but not where we would be setting up our project. So yeah, right now we're struggling with finding grants or donations or support for putting in the sewer line, the water line, bringing in the electrical service. And then we've already purchased the mobile home that's going to be the community building. So that's where people will have their showers, their laundry facilities, and then a meeting room, and then little interview rooms where they can meet with staff or with behavioral health counselors or clinicians there too. And then there's also a kitchen so we can have shared meals sometimes. So yeah, we have that community building, but they'll be able to have the privacy of living in their own little sleeping cabin. So those are the tiny houses that we just purchased. And that was in the newspaper just recently on the front page. We bought the first 5 sleeping cabins, but the thing is we need to get a lot of the interior work done still. So they're just more like more or less a shell. They're not insulated yet. They need insulation, wiring, and sheetrock and floor painted, this and that. So yeah, once we get them all ready, then we'll move them onto the property and hopefully the timing will work out so that by then we'll have the road put in and the water and the sewer lines and the electricity.
And where is that exactly?
It's on Cohasset Road. It's close to where Cohasset comes together with Rio Lindo. So there's a Enloe urgent care there, kidney dialysis place. You don't really see it from the road. It's a portion of a piece of property. So it doesn't front on any road.
So how many little cubbies will there be there? Or how many spots for people?
We're hoping to have 20 sleeping cabins, and they'll each have a toilet in them.
Yeah. For people to help with that, you need people to help finishing up those little sleeping quarters. And is that the kind of thing that you're looking for, some help with those?
Yeah. We're going to need some volunteers to help with those kinds of things. The carpentry.
Yeah.
People that have some experience with things like that. That would be great.
Yep. How could somebody, if they were interested in helping on those, are they ready to be worked on right now?
Yeah, we're going to be starting very soon with that carpentry work to complete those tiny houses.
Okay. And a person to call if somebody wanted to help, or just, is there someplace online to go, or what would be the best?
343-3152.
Call Charles with Chat at 343-3152. You need carpenters, you need electricians, probably painters. Some plumbers, painters.
Sure, yeah. We're just about ready. They won't be on site. That's why, because on the site is also being prepared, but these are in another facility where we can.
And it seems like you have a pretty nice relationship with the city, actually.
Yeah.
I mean, it seems like there's, you know, working together on things, and that it's actually lucky for Chico that Chad is there.
Most recently, the city made a grant to Chad of $283,000, and that's going to be much, much appreciated, because we have had a 2-year program for families, and that funding is just about to expire. So the timing's perfect, and we're going to be able to extend our family program another year and a half.
Great.
Without funding. And that'll be great, because I know that we all agree that families and children should never have to live in homelessness. It's so traumatizing for them and unhealthy in every way for them to have that situation.
I know you do get some grants, but you have good local support. I know that from people financially and showing up. And the best way for people to donate is there. Do you have a website, and what is that website?
Oh yeah, we do. ChicoHousingActionTeam.net.
Okay. So it's .net. Yeah.
So sometimes people occasionally will find ChicoHousingActionTeam.org. That's not us. If it looks like something completely different, it is.
Okay. So definitely remember .net, and I'm sure there's a place to go there to donate, and, you know, some news and information about what things you have coming up.
I wanted to say, if you go to our website, you'll be invited to sign up for our mailing list. It's a MailChimp email list. I would love to have you do that if you're not on our email list, because that's the best way to hear about what's going on with CHAT. We are trying to do kind of a, you know, regular updates and newsletters and things like that. And there's always so much going on. If you can get on our mailing list, that will be great. You know, one of the things we've started inviting people to do is signing up as a sustaining donor. And that's one of the very best things that you can do for CHAT, because even if it's a small donation, it does add up over time. And then we have that consistent source of funding that enable us to have staff that can continue working with the people that we've put into housing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. People can also donate cars. And of course, if people have a piece of property they'd like to donate, that's terrific. Or put in your estate plan or something like that, because we don't want to fizzle out. We want to keep going as an organization and continue to house people in the coming, you know, years and decades, even after we're all gone. We're hoping that, you know, if CHAT owns property and rental housing, we'll be able to continue renting to people that are the very low income clients that we serve. CHAT's focus is people who have income. People should also be encouraged to go to the tourist shelter. You know, a lot of people have a lot of reasons why they don't want to go to the tourist shelter. And a lot of those reasons are kind of outdated. They may have had a bad experience 5 years ago or heard somebody else had a bad experience. And I would just urge everybody, if they're willing, to give it at least a try, because they can get some services there. They can get a safe place to sleep and rest. They can get food there. They would have a case manager to sit down and work with them and figure out what they need to do. Do they need to apply for disability? There'd be somebody there that will help them.
Because you do need an income of some kind to be able to get a room in the CHAT house, and they can help you see if you could qualify for disability, or if you're a veteran, I'm sure there's some things they can help you hook up with as well. So anybody out there with a house, you know, I think that CHAT's a good bet, you know, a good place to, somebody might want to, you might want to rent to.
Yeah. I think most of our landlords have been really happy because, you know, I won't say all our tenants are perfect, but if there's damage or something like that, we make it good. We do take care of it because we're responsible. We're on the lease. So, it's a great maintenance team that we have with Dan Joseph and Addison and Bob and now Julian. So our maintenance and warehouse team has had to keep growing too.
Now, where would somebody call if they thought they might want to donate something that way?
412-3910.
Yep. Okay. And that's Dan Joseph, and he's in charge of the warehouse.
Mm-hmm. One thing we don't really take is clothing. Okay. Sometimes people like to donate clothes, but we would urge you to take those to the ARC or to the Show Love thrift store because it's we don't want to handle clothes.
No. I can understand that.
The latest project that you might want to hear about that CHAT's working with is the development of an outdoor shelter program because there's still a lot of people camping outside and the city's really trying to figure out an alternative for that. especially in sight and light of the litigation that's ongoing. But I mean, even apart from that, I mean, I think everyone's realized that the people have to go somewhere. Chat hasn't wanted to take on a campground kind of a project. However, we're kind of in a consultation collaboration relationship with Caring Choices. So Caring Choices is working up a plan, and we're hoping that if the city can identify a spot for it to happen, Caring Choices is working up some kind of a, you know, something that would work and a place where people could be that would be clean and safe and legal. Mm-hmm. I think case management and everything would come to the site and really help people figure out what is needed. Some people may not need, you know, too much. Maybe they need to help to make contact with a relative out of the area or transportation or mm-hmm. replace their driver's license. There could be a lot of things. And mm-hmm. So Chat's really proud to be supporting that, the development of that kind of a project, even though we're not going to be operating it because we just don't have the bandwidth to take that on. We want to really keep our focus on permanent housing, but we're really excited about what Caring Choices is putting together and their plan. And there are some community people and business people, kind of a coalition that's developing of people that really want to make that kind of a project work, and they're contributing to it and making commitments to help with it. So that will be interesting mm-hmm. to see how it all plays out.
The problem always seems to be just the space to try to find the property or the place to do things.
And then the, you know, the same thing that I was talking about with Everhart, the infrastructure issues, you know, would there be toilets? Yes. Would we have to bring porta potties? Will there be, is there electricity? Is there shade? Because that's a huge issue.
Thing.
Some of the locations, if it's outside of Chico, you know, it can be just a big mm-hmm. field and it can die out there in the heat. We need some place with shade. And it's a big challenge, but it's exciting mm-hmm. to see what, you know, other towns and cities are doing and to see what Chico's going to be able to come up with, because mm-hmm. I don't think anybody wants things to continue the way they are with people just being mm-hmm. outdoors without even enough garbage cans or toilets or anything.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I have a little bit of a connection with Reading and a few other towns, and I have to say that Chat is above and beyond. I don't see it happening in very many places. So my hat off to you. I think you guys have done an amazing thing, and I love being involved in it, which I am. Just give me that number. I'm going to put this out there in case people want to help with the Everhart community. That number is 343-3152. If you are an electrician, if you are a painter, if you can do some sheetrock, those things. And the other number I had here in case we wanted to, if you wanted to donate to the warehouse, was Dan Joseph, and his number is 412-3910.
My number is 530-518-9992. If people have any questions or interested in any, you know, in particular of any of the things that we talked about.
Okay, great. Right. Wonderful. Well, that's nice, because sometimes people just don't know where to go. And ChicoHousingActionTeam.net. .net. If you're looking them up on the web, that's what you're going to look for. And Leslie Johnson, thank you so much for talking to me today.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for having me, Bobby. It's great to
I know. Chat. It is to chat about chat.
Yeah.
All right, Les. I'll see you.
See you later. Bye.
Bye. You just heard a great interview with Leslie Johnson from Chat, Chico Housing Action Team. If you'd like to hear it again, go to kzfr.org. Go to programs, go to Tuesday, and go down to North State Give and Take. Thanks for listening. Tune in next week, an interview about the Butte County Libraries. Stay tuned for Ginger and Radioactive, and come on back next week at 6 p.m. for North State Give and Take.